Would the book of James in the New Testament. We'll open our Bibles there tonight. We'll be turning to some passages throughout the evening. Did want to say, as I heard so many of you get up and give testimony, I did want to say how grateful I am for my mother and the blessing that she is in my life. I tried to share with the young people this morning the highlight of a testimony that I can give for my mother is that she was the one who sat me down at 6 years of age and showed me how to be saved. And we had a preacher sitting in a preaching service, and back at 6 years of age, and my mom, I went home that evening. Some of you have heard my testimony, but I went home that evening and had an opportunity to hear that preaching message, God speaking to my heart, but didn't go forward that night. Tried to go to bed, but God wouldn't leave me alone. That's what he does when he convicts you, doesn't he? This won't leave you alone until you do something to make it right, or you reject him, push him away. But went out to the kitchen where my mom was, and she was still up, and she took me around from the kitchen over into the living room, the house my mom still lives in today over in Jefferson, Frederick County. And she sat me there on the end of the couch and showed me how I could be saved. And so grateful. You would say the same thing. What are you grateful for the person that shared the gospel with you? And I'm grateful for a mother that was saved and shared the gospel message with me. And I came to know Christ as my Savior. A couple years ago, my mom was, I guess it'd be a couple years ago now, she was getting rid of that couch. And I said, Mom, I want that couch. She said, come on, that couch is old raggedy, tore up. You don't want that couch. I said, that's the couch that I can go back to the place where I got saved. I said, I want to keep that couch. And I have that couch in my house. And I kept it. And I wanted to just be reminded of the place I could go back to where I got saved. Special day in my life. Obviously a special day when you trust the Lord as your Savior. And just so thankful to my mom for her salvation and then sharing that message with her children that they could know Christ. And we always share that with young people. You're not going to heaven just because mom and dad are. You got to make that decision for yourself. But I'm so grateful that when there was a time when God was speaking to my heart, my mom showed me how I could be saved. Trust the Lord as my Savior. And I tried to encourage our young people this morning. I know we have all kinds of various situations, especially in our bus ministry. Families that we had one young person acknowledge to me today, my mom's already dead. And, you know, they were sharing that with us this morning. And so all kinds of various situations. I realize some young people have mothers that have already gone through death. Some mothers maybe aren't in their life like they should be, at least like a mother would, like we would think of. But I told him, I said, one thing every one of us have in common that we can be grateful for is that our mother gave birth to us, didn't she? And she chose to give us life. And certainly in a day where so many mothers choose to take the life of their children, we can be so grateful that our mothers chose to give us life. And then for many of us in here, if not all of us in here tonight, we could say how our mothers cared for us. They loved us. They were there for us. And certainly I heard some of you give a testimony to the fact that your mothers were godly. That's another great blessing, isn't it? You have a godly mother who serves the Lord. I'm so thankful that my mom can still serve in the ministries here in the church and for her blessing. I often think too of my wife's mother. She's not saved. We're praying for her salvation, praying that she would trust the Lord as her Savior. And my wife's relationship with her mother is a little bit distant, but she's trying to be there in case there would be a day when she would trust the Lord as her Savior. So pray for her mother if you would. And then on this Mother's Day, I do want to say happy Mother's Day to my wife as well. What a great mother she is to our children. And looking forward to one more here soon. And but with Pastor Wade's voice, I guess we're thankful that she held out just a little bit longer. By the way, Brother Terry, someone told on you this morning. They said that it was going to be up to Beth if she had different plans for the service tonight. So I heard that this morning as well. Let's see if we can look in our Bibles to the book of James. Right before we do that, I want to review where we're at, because I had a three-part series that I was doing here on Sunday Night Live, and this will be the third part. We're going to finish it this evening. I've been talking about the way that God's Word pictures God's Word. And we were talking about that from time to time when we read through the Bible. The Bible often gives visual images or pictures to describe things or to represent things for us, and maybe types or visual representations of things as you read through the Word of God. And as you read through Scripture, you can even see how the Bible pictures even this book, the Bible picturing the Bible in certain ways. And we talked several months ago, we talked about how the Bible pictures itself as a two-edged sword. And we took you to the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12, where the Bible says it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we talked about how the Bible is represented as a two-edged sword. And then we went on to talk about how the Bible is pictured as a fire. It is a great purifier that destroys all that is false and all that is untrue. Then we talked about how the Bible is a hammer. It pictures itself as a hammer. Both of those found in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29. Pictured as a fire and then also a hammer. That crushes everything that's evil. It can break through even the hardest of hearts. And we're here to give testimony of the fact that maybe it was our life. Maybe it was the life of somebody else. Where the Bible, like a hammer, just broke through even the hardest of hearts so that some could come to know Jesus as their Savior and trust Him as Savior. And then we talked about number four, how the Bible is pictured, or God's Word represents itself or pictures itself as a lamp and a light. So that it gives lamp and light for the direction of our life so that we can take the steps that God wants us to take. We use that verse, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord as they're directed by the Word of God, right? That, because His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we went to Psalm 119 verse 105 and we talked about how the Bible enables us to discover God, and we can see our pathway clearly as we keep this book as the lamp and the light for our lives. And we ought to be thankful that God's Word is a lamp and a light for our feet. And then we took you to the book of Matthew and we talked about how that the Bible is our food. And more than just physical food, we need spiritual food to support our lives, don't we? And we often say that thought. It's not just about eating physically every day, it's about eating spiritually every day as well, right? When we get into the Bible, when we get into God's Word, and we feed on the Word of God. And again, that's why I go back to Brother Shetler's message. I loved how he was preaching to us and encouraging us to just trust the Scriptures. Just get into the Word of God. Find out what it has to say and just trust it and live by it, because it is our food. It is our nourishment. And we want to grow to be more like Christ, right? We want to mature. We want to spiritually mature in our lives as Christians. We want to have spiritual taste buds that are maturing, right? We don't want to just stay with the same old thing and just maybe just keep drinking of the milk. We want to get into the meat of God's Word, studying God's Word and letting it be our food, and provide that sustenance that we need in our lives to help us to mature spiritually and become more like Christ, to be our nourishment, right? And so we can be grateful that God's Word is our source of food and it's our source of nourishment, and we can go to it when we need that food, that spiritual nourishment in our lives. But then look at James chapter 1, because the Bible is going to describe itself or picture itself in another unique way in James chapter 1. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 22. Verse number 22, and I'll give you a couple thoughts of this. Now keep your Bible open, because we're going to look at several passages here this evening and turn to them as we look through them tonight. And hopefully you'll keep your Bible open as we read through these and look at them for yourself tonight. And find the places in your Bible. I was definitely going to try to encourage our young people with that. Turn in the Bible and look up the places of Scripture that we turn to. The Bible says in James 1, verse 22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." That word glass obviously has the idea of a mirror. He's beholding his face in a mirror. And look at what the Bible says happens in verse number 24. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is." That's a hearer of the word of God, but not a doer, right? He's looking into the mirror and he sees the problem areas, and we'll get to this in just a minute, but he goes about on his way and he doesn't do anything about it. So he's a hearer, but he's not a doer of the word. But look at what the Bible says in verse number 25. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," the Bible really pictured here as a mirror, that we can look into the mirror of God's word, into the perfect law of liberty. And now notice what it says in verse 25, "and continueth therein, He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And we're going to get to a couple thoughts there that are found in verse number 25 in just a moment. But it's talking about a person that looks into the mirror of God's word and he doesn't forget what he hears. It's not just about hearing it, but he goes out and he does according to what he hears. And so the Bible is picturing itself or describing itself as a mirror. Here's what the Bible is telling us here. We're to put the Bible into practice. We understand that, right? Not to just hear it, but to do it. We're to put it into practice. We're to make it, we're to apply it to our lives. I shared this with our teenagers this morning. I loved another statement that Brother Shetler made. And if you were listening to him in the first message, you heard him say this, how that when he gets alone with the Lord and he has his devotion time, I shared this with our young people just to make sure they heard what he said, that he does not walk away from his time reading God's word until God does something to speak to his heart. A good application for our lives, right? To make sure we're putting something into practice that we're hearing. It's not just about reading it, but it's putting into practice the things that we are reading and taking it with us throughout the day, or maybe even into the next day, or through that busy week that we're going through, or maybe into the next month, or maybe even in the midst of the valley you're facing, so that you can put into practice the things that you hear. Now some, they're just going to take a quick glance into the mirror and they're going to turn from the mirror. And they're never going to deal with their flaws. They're never going to deal with their blemishes. And the Bible even really gives a illustration of somebody who can do that really in a literal sense, right? We could get up in the morning and we could look into the mirror and we could see all of the flaws that are there. All of the blemishes. I'm sure for you, that's not that many. Just a minimal amount. But the flaws and the blemishes that you have, and you could say, oh, the hair's all out of whack. You know, something needs to be done with my face, with my appearance here. And then you just say, oh, well, I'll forget about it. I'll just go on my way. I won't worry about that today. We don't do that, do we? We take care of it, don't we? So we look into the mirror, we get ourselves ready for that day, and we're not going to go out just the way we are when we wake up and get ready for the day. We're going to do something about it. We're going to find the flaws and the blemishes, and we're going to deal with them because we realize they can be dealt with, right? They can be remedied. Maybe they can be washed away. Or the hair can at least be brushed and combed, right? We can get it in order so that we can go out and we can be presentable that day, right? So we realize it can be remedied. Well, that's the same with God's word. So God's word does that for us, doesn't it? When we look at it into the perfect law of liberty, it's a mirror that we're looking into. And the word of God shows us our sins. Shows us sometimes our faults and failures, but then even in a good sense, it shows us things we ought to do for the Lord. Things we ought to do for Him, things we ought to stay away from. And as we look into that book, just like we would look into a mirror in a physical way or a literal sense, just a literal mirror in the bathroom, we realize there's something that can be done. It can be remedied. Well, when you look into the perfect law of liberty, there's something that can be done, right? When we look at our lives and we see the sin that's there, we can repent. And we can be pardoned, can't we? God can forgive our sins as we repent. And then we see what we should do. The things that we know we ought to do as Christians. There's something that can be done about that, right? We can go about our day, our week, our month, into the year, and we can do what we ought to do for the Lord. As we look into the perfect law of liberty. Now, this book, and I know you already understand it because you've read it. You know what the Bible is like. This book, when we look into this mirror, it's not the type of mirror that's going to flatter us, though, is it? It's going to show us what we're really like. We say it this way. Sometimes it steps on our toes a little bit, doesn't it? It's not going to be a mirror that's going to flatter us. Instead, it's going to show us the things that we have to deal with, the things that we need to get right in our lives. And so the Bible is a mirror, and when we look into the perfect law of liberty, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer, that man is going to be blessed in his deeds, and we'll get back to that in just a minute. But I want you to turn to the book of Romans, because as I was studying this, I want you to notice something I saw about the life of Paul. Look at the book of Romans, and notice what the Bible says in chapter 7, of the book of Romans, Paul here, writing the book of Romans, and he says something in chapter number 7, And notice what the Bible says in verse number 9. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 9. He says, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." Here's what Paul is doing. He's thinking he's all right until he looks into the law of God. He's thinking, well, I'm a pretty good person until I look into the law of God. We were out visiting this Tuesday night, and we were talking to Brother Roy was in the midst of talking to a young man, and this was a teenage boy. I think he was 19 maybe, and we were talking to this young man, and Brother Roy was talking about how that sometimes folks look at their sin, and he said they say to themselves, "Well, my sin is certainly not as bad as somebody else's. Everybody else is doing it. I might as well join along." But that's not the way God sees our sin, is it? He doesn't look at our sin and say, "Well, everybody else is doing it, so just join in." He doesn't look at our sin and say, "Well, it's not as bad as what the other man's doing." He doesn't allow us to use excuses for our sin, does he? And Paul is saying here, he's saying, "Hey, I thought I was all right until I looked into the law of God. And then when the mirror of God's word was set in front of me," Paul says, I was able to see my sin, and I was able to discover that which I was not aware of before. And that's what happens when we open God's word. When we open the mirror of God's word, we see our sinfulness. We see the things we ought to be doing for God. And sometimes, again, it's not a mirror that flatters. Sometimes we realize, hey, these are things I ought to be doing, and I'm not doing them. These are things I ought to be staying away from, and yet I'm practicing them. And so the law of the Lord, as we open it up, it reveals to us our sin, and it helps us to discover things that maybe we didn't know before. That's why we always say that this book has the answers for everything we'll ever face in life. As Brother Shetler said, we just got to learn to trust it, right? We got to learn to take God at His word as we read it, not question it, just trust it and say, this is the answer. This is the authority for all faith and practice right here. This is the manual that I live by. This is the greatest book in the world. This is the book that will give you direction in life if you read no other book. If we would read this book, God would give us direction for our life. So Paul, what does Paul realize? Well, Paul realizes he's dead in his trespasses and sins. And he was to face condemnation had it not been for Jesus Christ. Had it not been for what Christ did for him on the cross. And all of us, when we came to salvation, we realized that, right? Because, by the way, we looked into this book when we got saved, didn't we? We found the plan of salvation in this book. This is where this is the book that revealed to us how we could be saved. This is the book, as we read those books through the Romans Road, or those verses through the Romans Road, or whatever verses we looked at as God spoke to our heart. He showed us the way of salvation in this book. This is how we came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We were going to face condemnation without Christ. We were sinners lost on our way to hell. But when we opened the perfect law of liberty, we saw in the Word of God how we could be saved, and we trusted Christ as our Savior. But look back at James 1 real quick. Because I told you I was going to get to the very end of verse number 25 here real quick. Notice what the Bible says in James 1 at verse number 25, which we already read. But notice what it says, verse 25. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Here's what I wanted to point out to you. A blessing is promised to those who respond as we see how to respond in verse 25. When you respond the way that God's word teaches us to respond, as we see in verse 25, to not be a forgetful hearer, but to be a doer of the word, what does the Bible promise? He promises a blessing. We could go back to Psalm 1, couldn't we? "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Verse 1 tells us what we ought to stay away from, or to stand not, and to walk not, and to sit not. But then verse number 2 tells us our duty as a Christian, we're to meditate upon this book day and night. And then what does the Bible give us as a promise? For the godly individual in Psalm 1. "But he shall be like a tree." The illustration of a tree, right? And we're not a literal tree. But he gives the illustration of a tree, and that's what's going to take place in our life, right? Firmly, deeply rooted in Jesus Christ, bringing forth fruit that doesn't fade away. Notice what he says. He's going to be like a tree that planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God giving a promise for the blessed man. You stand not, you sit not, you walk not, but you meditate upon God's word day and night, and then you're going to be like that tree. The promise of the blessed man. And God is giving that promise here in James chapter 1. You hear the word of God. You're not a forgetful here. You do the work of what you hear, and then you are blessed in your deed. But here's what I want you to understand about the very end of that verse. Going back to it one more time. Very end of the verse says this. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Those last three words are very key. He said he's going to be blessed in his deeds. He's not going to be a blessing for his deeds, but he's going to be a blessing in his deeds, in what he does for the Lord. It's not being blessed for what you do, it's being blessed in the midst of what you're doing. Boy, what a great thought. That we're not just, certainly God's going to bless us because of what we do for him, because we're doing it for him, but he's also going to bless us while we are doing it. We're blessed in the work that we do for God as we respond as a doer of the word and not just a hearer. But then real quickly, turn to the Gospel of John. Notice what the Gospel of John says here in John chapter 13. I want you to see something really quickly here in John chapter 13 that gives us a thought there at the end of this verse here in James chapter 1 verse 25. John chapter 13 verse number 17. Notice what the Bible says. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. What I want you to understand by what we saw in James 1 verse 25, Psalm 1 verses 1 through 3, and then also John chapter 13 verse number 17, is that this blessedness doesn't rest in knowing God's will, but in doing it. You say, well, I know what God's will for my life is, but that's just somebody who's hearing, right? It's not the blessing of just knowing it, but it's the blessing of doing the will of God. Getting involved in the will of God. And then he says he'll bless you in your deeds. So the word of God is like a mirror. Now, we can rejoice in the fact that God's word reveals to us our sin, reveals to us things that are right for us to do as a Christian, and then we can respond accordingly. We can deal with it. Just like we look into the mirror physically. We deal with the problem areas before we go out. We're going to deal with the problem areas before we go on in life as we look into the Word of God. So the Word of God pictures itself as a mirror. But then can I move on to the seventh thing? It's hard to believe we've had seven of these in the last few messages. But number seven, God's Word pictures God's Word as seed. Seed. I want you to turn to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 23. I think a very familiar verse. Some of you, when you see it, you're certainly going to remember hearing this before. Maybe some of you have it memorized. 1 Peter chapter 1, and notice what the Bible says in verse number 23. It says this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, let me say a thought to you real quick, and we're going to turn to a passage that's going to help us with this. Aren't you thankful, for those of us who are saved here right now, aren't you thankful that there was a time when somebody planted the seed of God's word in your heart? Aren't you glad that somebody did that work of planting the seed? They might not even be the one that led you to the Lord. They might not even be the one that showed you how to be saved. But there was somebody that did the planting, somebody that did the watering, somebody that got to see the harvest, right? Got to reap it. But the Word of God is that seed that gets planted in our heart. And there was a time, if you're saved, where you can go back to the time in which the Word of God was a seed that was planted in your heart. And you responded to the Word of God, and the Bible says it's not corruptible seed, but it's incorruptible seed by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Notice real quickly, if you would, the book of Luke, Luke chapter 8, the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 8, and I know there's several chapters that we could go to for this, but there's a story in Luke chapter 8 that, again, is seen in other Gospels, but it's a parable of the sower. And the sower puts out the seed, doesn't he?
And then there are hearts that receive that seed. And same thing applies to us when we give out the gospel. The seed of that gospel, as we try to plant it in the hearts of the folks that we have a chance to preach to, have a chance to teach in our Sunday school classes, or maybe other opportunities the Lord gives us to teach. Men that go down and preach at readers, when we have an opportunity to knock on a door and plant the seed of the gospel in somebody's heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the gospel that he died for us, that he was buried, that he rose again. The seed of the gospel that somebody gave to us one day. Maybe it's just walking along the street as we do on Tuesday night and have the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody that's just walking along the street. It's amazing to watch the Lord work in hearts that way. We decided on Tuesday night this past week to take a different road. And as a result of taking that different road that we normally don't ever go on, right, Brother Terry? We had two young men that we met. And we had a chance to lead them to the Lord. The way the Lord works out opportunities like that to plant seed in somebody's heart. And notice what the Bible says here in Luke chapter 8, because this is the parable. Of course, this story that the Lord gives so that we can apply it. And he says in verse number 4 here of Luke chapter 8, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture." He says in verse 7, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it." Verse number 8, the Bible says, "And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Again, hearing what is said to you. And then he says in verse number 9, "And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Verse 11, he explains the parable, doesn't he? And he says, these are ways that people respond to the seed that the sower puts forth. The way that we hear, the way that our hearts respond to it. The Bible says in verse number 11, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God." The Word of God is described as a seed. The seed is the Word of God that goes out, right? And the sower, in this passage of course, sowing the seed. He says, "Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." This is the person that hears, and they're really fruitless because they're perishing away, aren't they? Because they haven't heard the message and allowed it to give them the gospel that they need to understand and receive. But then the Bible says in the next verse, verse number 13, "They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of tribulation they fall away." These are the fearful hearers. Because there's times when they go through persecution and the Bible says as they go through that persecution or that temptation, they do what? The Bible says in verse 13, they fall away. That's the fearful hearer that goes through the persecution. But then the Bible says in verse 14, "And they which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection." This is the fleshly hearer because he's preoccupied by something else, isn't he? But then notice what the Bible says in the next verse. This is the response of a fruitful hearer. The one that has the seed planted in his heart, and he is productive. He is a fruitful hearer. Notice what the Bible says, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." Let me say this to you. Aren't you glad again somebody planted the seed in your heart? Aren't you glad you had the opportunity and you can go back to the time and the place where you got saved? I mean, I can sit on the very couch that I got saved on. And so we can go back to the time and the place where we got saved. And we can remember the fact that somebody planted the seed in our hearts. Now, my mom led me to the Lord, but it was a result of a message that I was hearing from a preacher that planted the seed in my heart, and God started the work. And aren't you glad that when you had that the Word of God planted in your heart, you heard it? And you weren't a forgetful hearer. You weren't one that allowed what you heard to choke itself out. But you heard it, you took it, you were fruitful with what you took, you became productive as a Christian because you applied that seed of God's word that was planted in your heart. So the word of God is a seed. We can be grateful that the seed has been planted in our heart and we have received it. Can I, share with you the last thing in which, the last way, in which God's word pictures God's word or describes God's word? We've learned all of these in the span of these last 3 months that we've been preaching. We come down to the final one. Tonight we've learned the word of God is represented or pictured as a mirror. And oh, what a mirror we have to look in, right? And it's a seed that goes forth and different responses that take place when the seed goes forth. But the word of God is a seed. But then, can I share with you the last one? Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, and I want you to look at verse number 26. Ephesians chapter 5, and notice what the Bible says in verse number 26. And then I'm going to take you to one more verse, and I'm going to share with you what number 8 is. What number 8 is. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 26. The Bible says this, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. He's going to take and sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The church, right? He's going to do that by the washing of water by the word. Then verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that which should be holy and without blemish. Notice what the Bible says in verse 26 at the very end of that verse, that he might cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Then turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 17. John chapter 17 and verse number 17. And notice what the Bible says. Now I'm going to give you number 8 here. Bible says this, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. The Bible said in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 that he's going to cleanse it by the washing of water, by the word. He's going to sanctify folks through his truth. Where does his truth come from? His word is truth, right? So here's what I thought of as I was preparing this message. The Word of God is a cleaning agent, isn't it? The Word of God is a cleaning agent. It cleans us up, doesn't it? Now, ultimately, we get cleaned up when we ask Christ to save us. That's the ultimate process of cleaning that takes place because God forgives all our sin, right? Past, present, and future. But then as we look into the Word of God, and really we could go back to all the illustrations, couldn't we? We look back into the Word of God as a mirror. Or as a light, or as a lamp, or even as a hammer, or a fire. All of that is the process of God using His Word as a cleaning agent. To clean us up, to purify us, to sanctify us, to get us cleaned up so that we can live the life that we ought to live as a Christian. I was listening not too long ago to a message by Lester Roloff. And some of you know him, some of you probably have heard his messages before. But the title of his message was so unique, it kind of struck me as I was listening to it. And he talked about how the Bible, when we look into the Bible, it is the, he said, this is what he said. This was the title of his message when I was listening to Lester Roloff. He said, the Bible is the solution for all the pollution that's in the world. It's the solution for all the pollution. And he talked about how that if we would just look into God's Word, it would be the solution for all the pollution that's out here in this world that we live in today. That's what God's Word is, right? It's a cleaning agent. It cleans us up. It's the solution for the pollution that's in this world that we are living in. So we are cleaned up with salvation, and then the Word of God, then it continues to clean us as we get saved, and then God cleans us up at salvation, but then cleans us daily as we look into His Word, getting things right with God that should not be there. And getting things dealt with that are in our hearts that need not be there. I heard an illustration once, and this was a message that I heard that Brother Clarence Sexton was preaching. And Brother Clarence Sexton was preaching, and he used an illustration in his message. And I heard this once. He was using an illustration of a wife, and when her husband would come home from church, she never went to church. She would never go to church. And her husband would come home to church from church, and she would just get on him. I mean, she would just rail him for going to church. And she wondered, she said, why do you always go to church? You hear those messages, you go to church Sunday morning, you go to church Sunday night, you go to church Wednesday night. And she said, let me ask you, you've been going to church for years now. Can you remember every one of those messages that you've heard? I mean, are they really making an impact on your life if you're going three times a week and even Sunday school and you're not able to remember all the things that you've heard as you've listened to the preaching of the Word of God? How can you possibly remember all of those things? Well, the husband looked at the wife and he compared the messages that he hears in Sunday school and in the morning service and then in the evening service and then in Wednesday night messages that he hears. He said to his wife, he acknowledged, he said, no, I can't remember every message that I've heard. But he compared it to laundry soap. He said, well, how would that be compared to laundry soap? He compared it to laundry soap. He said, it's like soap in a clothes washer. He said, you put that soap in, and he said, it doesn't stay in the clothes. He said, but you notice the effect that it had on the clothes. And what he was trying to prove to his wife was that sometimes with the Word of God, it may not all stay in our mind. Every single word we've heard that the preacher said, maybe even as we read through God's Word, you know, we read it, and we might not remember every single verse that we read, of course, that day. Maybe not even always understand it all. But God's Word, as we read it, we notice the effect that it has, don't we? And just like that laundry soap, it doesn't stay in the clothes, but it has an effect. It may not always stay in every part of our mind and our memory for all of our lifetime here on earth, but it certainly has an effect, doesn't it? Look at what the Bible says. The one last verse I'll have you turn to. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, quickly turning there to Isaiah chapter 55, and notice what the Bible says in verse number 10 and verse number 11. Isaiah chapter 55, notice what the Bible says in verse 10 and 11. What a great thought here, and it applies to the Bible being a cleaning agent. Notice what it says, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God's word is not going to return void, is it? It's going to accomplish, the Bible says, that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God's word has an effect on our lives, doesn't it? And as we get into God's word every day, encouraging our young people to do that, encouraging each one of us to do that, that we would have that daily time with the Lord as we walk with Him and allow His word to get into us, and it will not return void. I'll ask you an application question tonight. Are you allowing God's word to clean you up every day? Sometimes when we get the old dirt of the world on us, right? The old dirt of the flesh that wants to kind of peek itself through. And with the devil that we battle, those three enemies that we have, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the battle that we go through with each one, day after day as we face that, are we allowing God's word to speak to us in such a way we're allowing it to clean us up? Because it's profitable for everything we face in life, isn't it? It'll help you throughout every area of your life. I'll never forget Dr. Bill Rice, and I've heard so many people use this illustration since. But I'll never forget Dr. Bill Rice introducing us to the thoughts that were found when I was working at the Bill Rice Ranch years ago. First time I ever heard it many times since. But he talked about how all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It'll show you what's right. It'll show you what's wrong. It'll show you how to get what is wrong right. And then it'll show you how to keep it right. God's word has power, doesn't it? It's a cleaning agent in our lives. So from the last message, or actually it'd be from the first message that we talked about, are you allowing the Holy Spirit to apply God's word to your life? Are you putting on, I'm going to say this one more time because I've said it in the first two messages, are you putting on your spectacles as you read God's word? You say, well, what are the spectacles I'm supposed to put on? Well, taking that word as an acrostic. And asking yourself as you're reading God's word, did God reveal to me any sins to confess, any promises I need to claim, Any examples I need to follow, any commandments I need to obey, any truths that I need to rejoice in, how about a verse I need to memorize, any challenges I need to face, any lessons about God, any errors to avoid, and any supplications or prayers that I ought to utter. Are you putting on your spectacles as you read God's word? Are you allowing it to be that mirror for your life? Are you allowing it to be that cleaning agent for your life to clean up the things that cause us to be unclean and dirty from time to time as Christians? Are we getting ourselves into God's word and allowing it to apply? We are applying these things to our lives, being not a hearer, but a doer of the word of God. We bow our heads and close our eyes tonight. In the finishing few moments of our service time tonight, I'm going to have Miss Dawn come and play on the piano like she does for us at our invitation times and give you the opportunity to respond to the preaching of God's word this evening. Maybe it is that God has spoken to your heart tonight in some way. Maybe it is that someone would need to make a decision tonight, and I know Brother Shetler even called for this during his message, but maybe some would need to make a decision tonight to just say, I need to make maybe one of the, just a basic decision tonight that I'm going to start reading God's word every day. Maybe we need to make a decision to say, I'm not going to get up from God's word until He shows me something that I need for that day or that week or that month or that time I'm facing in life. Maybe some of us would need to get to the place where we'd say, I just need to get in God's word enough as I'm looking in the mirror of God's word that I'm not just hearing it, but I'm going out and applying it. I'm doing what it says. I'm allowing it to clean me up. And then aren't we grateful tonight that God's word was a seed in our hearts one day as well? That seed that was planted and we were able to trust Christ as our Savior. There might be somebody here tonight, though, that's not saved. Maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Would you make that decision tonight? Would you let somebody know that? We can show you from the Bible how you can trust Jesus as your Savior tonight and know for sure of sins forgiven and the fact that you're on your way to heaven tonight. In just a moment, I'll ask us to stand to our feet right after I pray. And let's let God do a work tonight before we go out into our week for our school, for our young people, week of work for those who are in the workplace this week. We're going to face a world, as we said tonight, that is full of pollution. And we've got the solution for the pollution in this world, don't we? Allow God to use you this week. Maybe you'd just like to come tonight and pray for somebody in your family that needs prayer. Maybe somebody that's lost. Maybe somebody that would like to just come and thank the Lord tonight for their mother and the blessing that she has been. But whatever God has spoken to your heart about tonight, I hope you'll put feet to it tonight. Father, I pray that you would bless us as we have our moment of invitation. I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. I'm just so grateful and so thankful for the word of God that we can have in our lives. I pray you'd help us to make it. A daily part of our lives, a regular part of our lives. We would allow you to speak to us as we read it. We would be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. We've heard the message tonight, but Lord, help us to be a doer of it, of messages that we hear and as we read God's word. And I pray most importantly tonight, Lord, if there's somebody that's not saved, that has never trusted Christ, they would let us know that. And we could show them from the Bible how God's word planted as a seed in our hearts can help us to, can give us that gospel message. It can help us to know Christ as our Savior and then clean us up and make us the person you want us to be. So many people in this world, Lord, are trying to clean their lives up. And then, I'll get saved after I clean myself up, but God will clean us up. And Lord, we're just so thankful for your word being a cleaning agent. And I pray you'd help us to understand that tonight. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, nobody looking around, why don't we stand to our feet? And as Miss Dawn begins to play, maybe God has spoken to your heart in some way this evening. And maybe you would like to come and you would like to pray tonight before we go out into the schools for our young people, the workplace for our adults and those who are in our workplaces this week. Just that you would be encouraged by the word of God before you go tonight.